Do you live in the middle of nowhere and feel separated from the church?
Yeah, that's me.
Or do you think the church is out of touch?
Absolutely.
Then this podcast is for you. Coming to you from the Diocese of Sioux City.
What? Where the hell is Sioux City?
Welcome to Outcast Catholic with your hosts, Father Shane Demon and Father Travis Crotty.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this edition of Outcast Catholic. I'm Father Shane Demon.
I'm Father Travis Crotty.
And it's good to be with you all. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for your ongoing support of this podcast. Feel free to share it with friends, family members, fellow parishioners. We're certainly not seeking popularity, but we do want to reach out to those who do feel disenfranchised, those who feel outcast, those who might not understand the roots of their faith, or those who might never have had any exposure to Catholicism. So hopefully we can keep spreading the word in that measure. Father, how's life these days?
Life is good, but a special shout out to all the people. I never remember names of people I meet, but I continue to meet podcast listeners. So if you have told me that you listen to our podcast, thank you for telling me, and thanks for tuning in. Life's been good. Father Shane, have you ever met or encountered Dr. Mary Healy from Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit?
I don't know her personally. I've been at events where she's been around.
Yeah.
She's actually going to be speaking here next year.
Oh.
But I don't know her personally.
Well, she spoke at Kenrick when I was at seminary. Mm-hmm. And I guess we beat you to the punch because she just spoke in the Diocese of Sioux City for our clergy Lenten Day of Reflection. So
great.
Dr. Healy is a scripture scholar at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, and she's also very involved in the Charismatic Renewal and Healing Ministry. So it was wonderful. We had a day reflection. The Presbyter of Sioux City gathered in Storm Lake in the middle of our diocese, and we had some prayer together as a diocese. Something beautiful. I think I only encountered it once. I had to miss last year's because of something that came up, I think high school ministry on a trip or something. But we do a communal experience of the sacrament of anointing of the sick with all of the men in our presbyterate who are aging or who are dealing with different health difficulties. And it's beautiful to see Bishop, pastor of the diocese, to lead his presbyterate in that prayer. It was wonderful. And then Dr. Healy spoke, and what was really great was she talked about some of the upcoming Gospels for Lenten Sundays, and she kind of offered some reflections on those. But she gave this beautiful talk where she talked about the healing power of the Mass, and she broke down every part of the Mass and how there's healing in each part, which was really beautiful. There's healing in the fact that we come together as an assembly and we're healed of our kind of isolation and loneliness. There's healing in being able to listen to the story of salvation in the scriptures. There's healing that comes in the offertory of offering our lives with the bread and the wine. It was exciting for me, even as a priest. And I ended up celebrating Mass. I didn't have a public Mass that day, so I celebrated Mass later that day by myself. And it was beautiful just to see how, like, the Mass, which we experience every day or every week as just average Catholics, to be kind of opened up in a new way. But Dr. Mary Healy has a number of kind of scripture commentaries and books. But, yeah, she's mm-hmm. a wonderful gift to the church.
Well, good. I'm glad she was visiting the diocese, and it sounded like it was a pretty rich day, and she would have been taking time out of her busy schedule in the midst of the spring semester with her own students at Sacred Heart.
So, as you know, I mean, like seminaries, you're just usually kind of like goofing around and hanging out and
yeah, there's nothing going on in the midst of a graduate school semester.
Like, you can just kind of like leave whenever you want and take a break, you know. That's right. As you are knee deep in evaluations, yeah.
Evals right now, that's right.
And we thank you for your service, Father Shane. Thank you so much.
Well, you're most welcome. Thank you. For your thank you. Father, I'd like to talk about something that might seem a little abstract at first, but I think has a lot of concrete applications, all right?
As a Father Shane podcast often does, so
yes.
Please.
Yes, we're par for the course here today. As you know, anxiety is very prevalent in our culture, and there could be lots of forms of anxiety, especially social anxiety. And what I find is, you know, a lot of people experience anxiety when it comes to a lot of future things, right?
Yes.
There could be anything from like some among your high school students, like, I don't really want to go to that dance because, you know, like, I don't know if anyone's going to like talk to me, and I don't know if anyone's going to want to dance with me. And what if I don't know anybody? And what if I feel awkward when I go in? And so there's a lot of projection of the what ifs, right?
Yes.
There could be, you know, worries about fear or other, you know, apprehensions about, well, what if I go to that college and that university?
Oh yes.
Am I gonna find the right major? Am I gonna be able to afford my tuition? Am I gonna make any friends in the dormitories and all these sorts of things? Mm-hmm. Am I gonna put on 45 pounds, or am I gonna still get to the gym and all these things? Mm-hmm. You know, should I take this job opportunity? You know, am I good enough? Do I have the skills to accept this promotion or accept this job transfer? You know, can I actually lead in this new capacity? But even fears and apprehensions when it comes to people aging, mm-hmm. you know, am I going to have enough money for retirement? Am I going to be able to, you know, sustain myself if I have to go into a nursing home? Or if I have all these health complications, who's going to take care of me? Mm-hmm. The worries that we can project onto the future and the apprehensions that can all be attached to that can really get magnified, you know, and the imagination can start to run wild with fears, fears which don't keep us rooted in a relationship with God, fears that can just, you know, almost drive us to hysteria of wondering about the endless series of what ifs. But what if we were to look at the future differently? What if the future is not a place where we're just going to encounter struggles, you know, and we go into this protective environment, we go into this mode of self-preservation, like I have to prepare for every single inevitable crisis that will take me down. So yeah. I'm going to start worrying about it all right now. So I get it figured out and then I'll be protected when the future finally arrives. What if we were to look at the future differently? And we were to say, the future is actually the place where I will encounter God. The future is in the place where I will receive more graces. The future is the place that when I take that job opportunity, or I move to that city, or I move into that dorm on a college campus, I will actually encounter holy people. And that through them, the Lord's providential plans in my life will be graced and refreshed and touched anew. I can enter into retirement knowing that what comes tomorrow will be another encounter with God. Even if I'm, you know, deeply elderly and my family wants me to move into a nursing home, I can move into that environment because I know that Jesus is waiting for me there. You know, I just sense, as we've talked about before on this podcast, a lot of growing apprehensions and anxiety among our culture. What's tomorrow going to bring? What's the anxiety going to bring? What's, you know, conflicts and wars around the world going to bring? What's the next election cycle going to bring? But do we actually look at the future as if a place of encounter with grace, a place of encounter where the Lord is already waiting with us with his providential plans and his hopes and desires to draw us into greater intimacy? So I thought we could just kind of riff on that for a little bit.
Yeah, that's very true. What accompanies that is also this obvious growing desire from kind of a secular or just kind of humanistic perspective that says we need to have more mindfulness in the present moment, which I think is a response to that. And that can get wrapped up in some kind of odd and weird, like new agey stuff sometimes. And then of course there's those who try to bring kind of mindfulness into a kind of a Catholic sphere. Well, that's where like the desire for yoga is coming from, obviously, is to be more grounded with my body and with the space and time right now, right? I think that's where there's a desire for young people, when I say young people, kind of millennials, older millennials and folks to kind of like, there's been a lot of talk about kind of drinking less alcohol. Like there's been kind of this recognition of like, part of that's just kind of probably a preparation for the future of my future health. But I think there's like a recognition of, I don't want to stay and live in this kind of anxious preoccupation with the future of what that might look like. So there's obviously like a growing desire to have more of a groundedness and a rootedness. And you can say, people say all the time, and it becomes cliche, you know, just trying to stay in the present moment. But I think Father Shane, what you just said, like if the future could actually be a hopeful place in a place of anticipation of encounter with God, it seems like the present moment has to first be that, right? Mm-hmm. Like a concrete experience of God's presence. And not living, and I'm thinking of the Litany of Trust from the Sisters of Life, you know, freedom from preoccupations with the past or those kind of anxious anticipations of the future, right? Like mm-hmm. both of those allow us to actually be rooted and grounded in the present moment, but not just in a humanistic way, right? Because Christ meets us in our humanity, but to recognize that God's presence is with me now, and not just somewhere off in the future in heaven, but that if the incarnation is true, that heaven has come to earth and didn't just fly back to heaven, the Annunciation, but like through the church, through the sacraments, through the Holy Spirit, that Christ still meets us in the present right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like the more we can actually, you know, there's that kind of classic small little text from Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of God. It's kind of a unique read if anybody picks that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just this very simple insistence that God is meeting me now in the concrete realities of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like more of a recognition of that. Please go.
Yeah, you're hitting on some key points. I mean, first of all, there's actually no way to live the future, right?
Yes.
All we do is we live the present, and then the present becomes a new present, and then a new present, and a new present. So the future is just the realization of the present when the time unfolds, right? But as you're talking about this, staying grounded and rooted in the present, where we actually encounter the Lord, if we always desire that in the present moment, then we have to be able to project into the future and say that that will occur again and again and again, and we need not despair. And so the hope that we have for the future is really rooted in the present encounters that we know are available in real time and will occur again, right?
Yeah, that's where, you know, this is always brought up in the context of talking about the Eucharist, but like a Jewish understanding of anamnesis or of memory is helpful, and people always talk about that. Like when the Jews would remember the Passover, they would say, like, we presently, in remembering that past event, are also brought out of the land of Egypt and of slavery. Like, to remember that makes us present and makes that experience present now. Also, you know, Father Giussani in the Communion Liberation, like, he talks about the memory of Christ being something, it's not something I remember him, like a nostalgia in the past, but I remember how he has met me, how he has encountered me. And then that like helps me be more attentive to meeting him now. And St. Ignatius of Loyola offers the same type of kind of encouragement where it's like, okay, you're in a moment of desolation. Remember that you didn't used to be in desolation. Like you used to be in consolation, right? Or in a moment of consolation. Realize that in the future, you probably will find yourself in a moment of desolation again. So like, don't bank up this experience, but just like steep in it. Like really receive what's happening right now in the present. So that when moments of kind of despair come, it doesn't become this kind of like whirling, overwhelming, you know, kind of spiral that takes us into these, what if, you know, what's going to happen? You know, how am I possibly going to ever be able to, you know, take care of all of these things that are going to possibly maybe someday, what if, should have, could have, you know, going to happen. And it's like, no, remember concretely where Christ has met me in moments of prayer and concrete experiences of the, you know, the sacraments of initiation. My baptism happened. Confessions have happened. You know, the Eucharist is a place where I have met Christ. I can say, yes, he met me here. Okay, good. And he's meeting me now. Okay, good. If he's met me in the past, if he's meeting me now, then there can be a confident hope that'll meet me in the future. And, you know, I forgot where it came up recently in the Liturgy of the Hours or something, but St. Paul referring to hope, it's like, yeah, of course it's not seen in its fullness. It wouldn't be hope. If it was fully anticipated, fully seen, we'd know exactly what's going to happen in the future. But hope is something real. It's not just kind of this like wishful thinking of like, well, hope the world doesn't end, you know, tomorrow. It's like, no, I have a confidence that even if it does, you know, the good Lord is with me now and he's going to be with me. Yeah.
Yeah. You speak about being able to kind of narrate your own journey with the Lord. Mm-hmm. How has he been with me in the past? How is he with me now in the present? When you really rest in that confidence and you know that a relationship is established and your identity is rooted in him, well, it's very easy to walk into the future. And there need not be fear there, and the future need not be a source of anxiety. Because you can simply sit back and summarize the entire journey as saying, what does tomorrow bring? Tomorrow brings another encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's raining, whether there's sunshine, you know, whether I have an abundance of food or whether I'm fasting, there's going to be an encounter with the Lord in this because the relationship continues and that need not be a source of anxiety.
Right. I'm thinking right now of the often quoted, perhaps misquoted, this Mother Teresa line. Usually it's talked about St. Francis, Mother Teresa, some of these saints. It's like there are more, you know, misappropriated quotations than actual quotations. However, I think there was something that she said once, or maybe it's just a good phrase. Regardless, it's helpful for this conversation that, you know, like the future and the past don't actually exist. And maybe somebody could get in some metaphysical argument with me to try to convince me otherwise. But I mean, what exists right now, like you said, Father Shane, is the present right now, what I'm experiencing, right? So if I'm just like caught up in this anxiety, this like unreasonable fear of the past, preoccupation with the past, or I'm caught up in this kind of fear and what's going to happen in the future, well, I'm not actually living in reality. Like to live in front of reality, reality is right now. It's happening in front of me. I'm a part of it. You know, I'm not outside of it. And that's just so helpful. I'm just thinking back to Advent. We had a podcast episode of like those things to do during Advent. And I remember Father Scott Hastings from Omaha, he offered that invitation to go outside, even when it was cold, you know, a few months ago and it's still cold. But there's these moments of things that kind of like ground you and keep you rooted. Walking outside, exercise, things like that. They help get you out of your head. You know, people say that all the time. Like, you know, I'm just like lost in my thoughts, or they'll talk about this head space that's happening, right? And it's always important to just like remember that God doesn't exist in my ideas. He exists in reality. He doesn't exist in these kind of spiraling thoughts that are happening all the time, but to bring those thoughts. So I'm just thinking things that have been helpful for me, who has a pretty like, you know, Father Shane, as you've experienced, you know, pretty spontaneous thoughts that come, you know,
creative,
one might say.
Creative,
stream of consciousness, one might say. But journaling, sometimes people can think of it as just kind of this like recounting what's happened. Some people like to do that. Sometimes even when I'm just sitting in prayer, when I'm journaling, it's often just to get thoughts from my head kind of into a concrete reality. And that just kind of helps ground things sometimes and helps that spinning. Nate Phillips talked about that a year or two ago when we had him on talking about anxiety. It's like, it's this spin. And so what stops the spin, you know? And I think we were just talking recently in our previous episode of like, the church's liturgy offers us these like physical concrete experiences because it roots us in reality. That's right here and right now, right? Mm-hmm. Reading the scriptures right here and right now and seeing where those words that are living and effective can actually cut through my reality here and now. Mm-hmm. And not just help someday in the future, but right now. So that if I can encounter God's love now, there can be a real hope that I'll keep encountering God's love.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's very true. So maybe for our listeners, as they're just thinking about this, you know, is there a source of anxiety that's coming up with you in terms of the future? Is there a move coming? Is there an event that's coming? Could be big, could be small. Does it create a sense of anxiety? Does it create a sense of apprehension?
Or even just to add to that, Father Shane, as you continue here, like feeling stuck, you know, because I think sometimes there's anxiety with transition, but I think there's also anxiety when you kind of realize like, wait, you know, I'm now kind of done, you know, young people, I'm kind of done with the transition. I'm kind of settled into my life and my job. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you're at a certain job, at a certain place, if you're at one of those jobs, you know, a hospital, a school that kind of requires more of you, you know, even pastors and parishes, and you're experiencing a difficulty right now. And it's like, well, great. I'm just going to experience this forever. You know, I'm going to be in this tough spot forever, you know, and that anxiety comes in the same way.
Yeah. Someone who's working in a factory who has maybe a sense of routine or even monotony of their life. Regardless of your circumstances, what is tomorrow going to bring? Whether it's a difficult day or a joyful day or whatever, it's going to be an encounter with the Lord, and He will be present there, and He's eagerly waiting to await us. So to look to that with hope, to say there's going to be an anticipation of grace, and in that I rejoice of what the Lord will do for me. I think it's in Baruch chapter 4 in the Old Testament. There's a small little phrase of I rejoice in what the Lord will provide. Mm. Rejoicing now because of what the encounter will unfold as and the fruits that it will bear. So just a few thoughts for our listeners here.
Yeah. And I mean, you might be listening to this any time of the year, but especially those who are kind of up to date, that's what we do in Lent, is we actually anticipate the future of Easter, right? And the reason that we do that is that because it keeps us looking forward to the, you know, second coming of Christ. It keeps us looking forward to hopefully our own resurrection, you know? So like, hopefully that can just be a way to keep living this Lenten season well.
Yeah. Thanks for the show. Thanks, Father. It's good to be with you. Thanks for sharing these thoughts. And let's just keep looking towards the future as a grace-filled, awesome encounter with the Lord who awaits us there.
Thanks for tuning in. Send your questions and comments to outcastcatholic@gmail.com. Catch you next time, and God bless.